Well, hey, good morning, good morning.
Hallelujah.
We good today? Everybody doing good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm honored to be here. I hope you are too. We're gonna really just pick up right where Pastor just was here a little bit on some things. Minister on the subject of prosperity a little bit. There's two major things that the Bible teaches about money, mm-hmm. prosperity. One is what we just studied. You have to have caution.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to watch yourself with it.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's possible to, like she was just saying, it's possible to get your focus off of God. Onto substance, things,
right. Right.
And derail your life.
Yes.
That is one of the major things, one of the two major things the Bible teaches throughout Scripture.
Right. Yeah. Right.
The second thing that the Bible teaches is God wants you to have a whole lot of it.
There you go.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Amen.
So, these verses that we're reading, you're going to need those.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The body of Christ is more divided on the subject, if you want to call it prosperity, if you want to call it wealth, riches, giving, mm-hmm.
yeah.
or just money, mm-hmm. finances. The body of Christ is more divided on this subject than any other subject I'm aware of. You know, they're divided. They don't all believe in speaking in other tongues. You know that?
Right, right.
And some people would say that's devilish. That's crazy. You shouldn't have anything to do with that.
Right.
Well, you come way too late for me. But it's not because I have experience speaking in other tongues. I have Scripture.
Right, yeah. right.
And a lot of it.
A lot
yeah.
of it.
That's
right.
But as divided as some folk are, That ain't the biggest division. There's folk that are, to be honest with you, there's folk that would not set foot in this church if a female is preaching.
Right,
right,
right. Yeah.
There's Scripture that on the surface, if you don't study it, seems to indicate that that shouldn't be the case. But if you do study, you find that that's just not the case.
That's right.
And that's another subject for another day. But how many know your physical gender is not what determines anointing
right.
and ability to minister?
Right. Right.
It's not whether you have this part versus this part that
Come
makes
on.
You an able minister, of, right?
Right. right?
So the body of Christ is divided on that and a whole bunch of other stuff, healing.
Oh my, yes. Mm-hmm.
There's folk that say, you know, listen, if God wants to heal, that's his business. That's just between him and him. But we should stay out of it.
Wow.
But that's not where we're at.
No.
Because of what the Word of God says.
Right, yes. right, yes. right.
And so we remain divided.
Yes.
We remain divided. You know, there's people that preach unity above everything else. No. Mm. Unity is necessary.
Yes.
Right.
For certain
things.
But unity is not changing and dropping off things that Christ died for.
Come on.
Just for the sake of getting along. Because how many know we would like preach maybe two verses? Like how much does all of the body of Christ actually agree on?
Wow.
Not a
lot. Not a lot.
And you might say, why all the differences? Every bit of it has to do with what people believe about the book.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why there's divisions. Yep. People insert their own interpretation. People act natural because it's natural to act natural.
Right, right, right.
Meaning not non-spiritual.
Right.
And they walk by sight and they interpret the Word of God based on their environment
yep.
and where they're at.
Right.
And that's how they form their beliefs. Instead of, and I get it, we've all been there.
Yep.
We need help
right.
yeah.
to put away some of that natural thinking and just let God say what God says. Come on, smile, everybody. Some of you look like you wish you were in bed. Listen, y'all probably slept more than I did last night. I, I have one of those where I just laid there wide awake till like after two. So come on.
Yeah,
I'm here. You're here.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the biggest area of controversy that I'm aware of is what the Bible says about prosperity. Matter of fact, the body of Christ is more united in this area than any other area I know. And they're all united against it. And I'm going to endeavor to, you understand, it's not our job as ministers to find out what you want to hear and preach it. You know that?
Praise the Lord.
And although, listen, we care dearly for everybody here in this room.
Yes.
But we don't care at all what you'd like to hear. Because we have to be faithful to God.
Yes.
So we care for you. We don't care whether you like it or whether you don't, you know, particularly want to hear it. So if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter,
yes.
And I appreciate what was said during the offering because it actually helped set some things up here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Years ago, God gave me an assignment to, not for it to be the main thing that I do, but for it to be an area of emphasis in my ministry, was to preach and demonstrate prosperity. I can tell you, I could go through and tell you exactly when this, it was like a call that came to me. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, I had preached probably some of the same things I'll minister to you. I had preached it when I pastored the church in New York for all those years. And I had preached, back then, those, Keisha could tell you, different ones could tell you that were with me. I would preach series and I would, you know, I think the longest one I did was 17 messages on one subject. But, you know, it was nothing for me to preach 5, 6. I was, you know, teacher.
Yeah.
And I teach a lot. So I just finished teaching on the subject of prosperity. And it went over about like it does in a lot of places.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, this was my own church. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And it just. Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say sometimes it was like, his words were like a rubber ball bouncing off the back wall and hitting you back in the face.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Meaning nobody received it.
Nobody
it just bounced
it.
Back and smacked you. And so it kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
And truthfully, if you've never preached, you don't know how much it can take out of you, even physically. I mean, it's exerting.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I had a little office. Everybody went back for Timbits afterward. Now, how many here know what Timbits are? You know what Timbits are? From where? Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is a coffee shop in Canada and Western New York and some of the, and Ohio, they have some of them. Anyhow, Timbits are the little donuts. And we had a lady, well, Leslie used to be with us here. She was with us and she would bring Timbits. Everybody would rush back after the service because they wanted their donuts. And I went back in the back office and I just fell on my face on the carpet there. And I said, because I just felt like everything I had tried to preach just didn't come out all that great, you know. And I said, Father, I did the best I knew how. And just kind of got before him and I heard his voice and he said, keep preaching it, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I just knew that along with all the other stuff I do, It's an area of emphasis for me. So did you find Deuteronomy chapter 8? I gave you a chance to. We're going to start in the 7th verse where it says this. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. Now, friends, if you've never lived in a place without water, you wouldn't know how to appreciate this verse.
Right, right.
But I mean, instead of having to walk 3 miles a day to get your water,
yeah.
It's going to be right there.
Right there.
Everybody say right there. And then a land of wheat and barley. Now, somebody tell me, where were the children of Israel wandering when this was spoken? Anybody know? In the wilderness, the desert, arid wilderness, where there was no Sonic to drive through. There was no King Supers. There was nothing. A whole lot of nothing. But supernaturally, food rained out of the sky every day for them. But they were displaced.
Yes.
They were displaced. You ever have that feeling like where I am isn't home?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be how you feel here this morning.
No.
But I mean, you know, you ever been there to where you feel like that? And so that's where they were. And now he's telling them about the place he's wanting to bring them to.
Right.
Verse 8 says it's a land of wheat and barley. And if anybody getting hungry yet? Of vines and fig trees. And pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. In other words, where God's saying, where I'm bringing you, there's a vast supply included right there. Right there. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You ready for this? In which you could put your name in there. In which Joel will lack nothing. You like that phrase, lack nothing. Lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of hills you can dig copper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so when you have a building project, all of that's there too.
Glory.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. That is some precious truth. That this is wonderful words. But then verse 11 starts talking a little bit about the other side. And that's important too. Take care or take heed, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you've eaten and are full and have built good houses, and live in them. So it is scriptural to have more than one. You don't have to. You might be like, I'd like one. I get you. But it's scriptural. And when your herds and flocks multiply. And your silver and gold is what?
Multiply.
And all that you have is what?
Multiply.
You know, God's really got just one button on the calculator.
Come on. That's it. Yeah.
He's more into multiplication.
Yes.
Than addition, you know.
Yeah.
He works with multiplication. Now, the enemy, the devil, he only has one button on the calculator.
Subtraction.
No. Division.
Oh, wow.
Because subtraction's included in division.
Yeah.
Right? What's he try to do with the husband and wife?
Divide
until you divorce, right? You understand that's the devil's plan for every marriage.
Yes.
Everybody that's ever been married. You went to the altar, you said, I will, and the devil said, no, you won't. Not if I could, because you said, we will till death do we part. And the devil said, I'm going to do everything I can to make it happen earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God multiplies, Satan divides.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That was free. That was extra. But he's talking about your herds and flocks multiplying and your silver and gold multiplying and all that you have being multiplied. This is outstanding. Again, don't hear it and filter it through just natural understanding. Just listen to what God's saying in the Word. But when that happens, beware, verse 14, beware, he's talking about take care, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying when things start looking good, don't start looking at the things.
Right.
Because you'll get off. Do you know that the reason why so much of the body of Christ is against prosperity and then others are for prosperity is that each group has found their own scriptures that they like?
Yep.
I told you, everything has to do with what you believe about the book.
Right.
Those who are against prosperity have found 1 Timothy 6.
Mm-hmm.
For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. They didn't. If you keep on reading, it balances out, shows you the other part.
Right.
But they only focus on that. Well, that means money's evil. You can pierce yourself through with many sorrows. You can end up, it can end up, you know, follow money. You can end up dying early.
Right.
And that's true.
Right.
But that's not all the truth.
Yeah.
How much of it do we need?
All of it.
All of it. And then sometimes the prosperity people, how many know prosperity people have gotten off?
Yes.
You know why? Because they only have their scriptures.
Yeah, right.
And they don't read all the rest. But you know, when we read a whole passage, you find it's all in there.
Yeah.
It's all in there. God wants to multiply you, so watch yourself.
Watch yourself.
Keep your heart. And do you understand that if it wasn't possible to have a right heart about money and things, possessions, that God would not, he would be unjust to put something before you if it was automatically going to trip you up.
Right.
It is possible. It is possible to serve God 100% and be, like we used to say, rich as all get out. You know what I'm talking about? To be extraordinarily blessed and serve God all the way. It is absolutely possible. And not only that, it's really not hard if you're walking close to the Lord.
Amen.
And so this is in here. Verse 17 says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. And verse 18 is kind of the summary of this whole passage. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you, not the wealth, gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now, friends, if I can make some statements to you here. First of all, this is the story of the children of Israel. You know that. Every Bible scholar would agree that the stories, that the Old Testament is not just a historical account, but included in these historical accounts is a prophetic meaning. Meaning that, in fact, the New Testament even just comes right out and declares that the things which happened to them are examples for us. But any Bible scholar would agree that the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is a prophetic picture, if you will, of us in our day coming out of the bondage to sin and slavery. You know, many of you have heard that.
Yeah.
And so Israel represents. It's not, yes, it's history. Yes, it happened this way. But this is also a picture of our life today. You know, God was leading them. At this time, they were out of Egypt, weren't they? It talked about how he brought you out. Don't forget the fact that he brought you out of that place. But they weren't yet in the place he wanted them. They were in this place called the wilderness. They weren't in Egyptian slavery. But they weren't in the place God wanted them, the promised land. The wilderness. And that's where many Christians find themselves. You're not a lost person. If you've received Christ, you're not a lost person anymore. You've been born again. You're not in Egypt. You're not in Egyptian bondage, in slavery. But are you living in the fullness of what God has for you? And a lot of folk would say, well, yeah, this is just a picture of heaven. No, there's no giants in the land in heaven to take out. All that they had to do to get in, That promised land is a picture of what Jesus said in John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life more abundantly. Yes. It's a picture of us living an abundant, full life that he's provided. And a believer can be not in Egypt, not lost, not headed towards hell, not in sin. But very few are living in the place of abundance that God wants for them. And this 18th verse is really so important because it brings even other emphasis here. Remember the Lord your God. It's he who gives you power to get wealth. That, notice this. It says that he may confirm his covenant. One of the oldest types of contracts or agreements that's known to man is this whole idea of covenant.
Right.
If you know anything about covenant, well, today marriage is a covenant. Mm-hmm. But our society in America or any of what we call Western, they know a whole lot less about covenant than maybe some of your Eastern cultures,
right,
where covenant is so big. But what a covenant is, it's an agreement where you're joined to another party. And in that joining, there's always blood. Matter of fact, what they would do was they would cut their wrists, and then one party with another party. Don't do this. But one party and then the other party, they'd get their wrists together, and they would mingle their blood. You would actually take part. You would change your name to where you take part of their name, and they take part of your name, and then you go somewhere, like in an ancient tribal culture or whatever, some kind of jungle culture, and you go somewhere and someone goes to attack you, and you hold up that scar.
Right. Right.
They know it's not just you.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But they have to, if you're in covenant, it's a oneness with that other person. But then the other part of covenant is the joining of resources. And really, all you have becomes theirs, and all they have becomes yours.
Right. Yeah.
And we're in covenant with God.
Glory, glory. Amen. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it took blood to get us there.
Yes, yes. Amen, yeah. Amen.
And it is a major thing.
It's a major.
Everybody say major.
Major.
It is a major,
yes,
deal.
Yes.
When we're talking about that which is included in our covenant.
Yes.
Blood was shed. And part of the covenant that God made with us is he empowers us with his blessing, empowers us by his grace to be able to get wealth.
Glory to God. Wow.
Why? So we can stop serving him?
No.
No.
No. No. No.
So we can be a greater resource for him.
Yes.
And the thing about this, anything that comes to us through the Lord is spiritual. It's not natural.
Right.
Not purely natural.
Right.
Including this.
Right.
And so people have all kinds of fuzzy ideas about how the prosperity of God works. Well, it's just going to, I'm going to suddenly. And man, I tell you, it irks me, and I don't hear it much because I don't watch and listen to much, truthfully. But if you've been around and come up through the years, I mean, we came up hearing things about, you know, this is your day of miracle breakthrough and right now and everything, you know, everything is right now, and get in the energy of the moment. And if you do such and such, you're gonna suddenly be wealthy. That's baloney. Yeah.
Come on, help us. Help
That's
us.
Just baloney. And cheese.
And
bologna
cheese.
And cheese. Maybe more cheese than bologna.
Yes.
Why do we say bologna? I guess it's not real meat, is it? It's like processed meat. We don't say it's filet mignon. We don't say it's grilled tilapia. No, we say it's bologna.
It's bologna.
Like something that somebody put together to look like a real meal. If anybody tells you that if you jump in the hype of the moment that everything is going to change overnight, No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's just not. But the fact that that's the case doesn't do away with the supernatural element of divine increase that God wants to bring to our lives. It is supernatural.
Yes.
It is spiritual.
Yes. Yes.
But what I want us to see really today, you know what I'm doing today, just like introducing the first part of the introduction, and I may preach here, I don't know, in another 3 months. We'll get the rest. We'll get part two, which means I'll just review the introduction again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is a covenant issue.
Yes. Yes.
This is a covenant issue.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This costs something.
Yes.
It costs something. And it's never is what the Bible teaches about prosperity. Never is it just about stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never just about me having more, me being more comfortable.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But it includes more.
It does include more.
It includes more. It's just not all about more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's not about the natural.
Right.
Right.
It's not about the natural.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But it flows through natural stuff. So God is interesting. To him, it's a matter of covenant, the most sacred agreement possible.
Right, right.
If you're gonna not come through on anything, you want to come through on your covenant
yes.
relationships.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Right.
Right. Right.
I wish they emphasized in when people get married. I wish they would emphasize that more about what this whole covenant thing is. Your covenant marriage is not a 50-50 thing. You understand that?
Right.
It's not I meet you halfway, you meet me halfway. Marriage is 100-100.
Yep.
I'm all in for you.
Right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
It's got to be that way. You can't have the mentality of I did my half, now where's yours?
Come on.
You never, that's not it. You'll always be frustrated.
Yep.
You always feel like you did only 40. Huh? Just be what, listen, I gave my whole self to
right.
you. You
right.
giving your whole self to me.
Right.
I mean, you know all I have is yours. You obviously you know that.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then it says this, and I think we just read over this part, but this is important. That he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Well, when he talks to Israel about their fathers, he's talking about a specific group of people.
Right.
There's three of them that we usually say together. Abraham, who?
Isaac.
Who else?
Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Abraham, that's the fathers he's talking about. He said, I'm wanting to confirm to you or keep in force and keep visible this covenant that I delivered and made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right. Right.
Again, he's talking to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want us to look a little bit at this Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob part of this. But before I say this, again, this is a picture.
Yes.
Israel coming out of Egypt is not just history,
right.
but it's a picture of what was to one day be fulfilled in Christ.
Right.
Meaning it was a picture of them coming out and then coming into something.
Yeah.
That's happened for us because of Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
What did we come out of? We came out of sin
uh-huh.
and everything that sin let in. And then we've come into some things that we didn't even ever have before.
Right. Right.
Why is that? Now a price was paid. What do we call this whole thing of us being delivered out because of a price that was paid by Jesus' blood? What's another word for this? You got it. What is it?
Redemption.
Right? We were redeemed. We were brought out.
Yes.
so we could be brought in. And so the reason that's important is that everything that Israel, if they're a picture of what we have, then everything that came along that was included when they came out and came in should be included in ours.
Right, right.
Amen.
Right.
We're in a covenant today called the New Covenant.
The New Covenant.
The book of Hebrews calls it a better covenant.
Yes, yes.
Established on better promises.
Right, right.
Now, what is unfathomable is how believers today want to get mad when you talk about healing being in our covenant.
Come on.
The only thing is, Israel had included in Exodus 15, verse 26.
Yeah.
What's it say, Exodus 15, 26? Huh? Exodus 15, 26. If. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. When it says, I am the Lord your healer, that's one of God's covenant names.
Yes.
Meaning, I will be this for you and I will never change. Now, if... Again, every Bible scholar agrees that what happened to Israel was a picture of our redemption.
Right, yeah. Right.
And if healing was included,
yes,
in the inferior covenant,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
and we now have a better covenant.
Uh-huh.
How do you get up and tell people that that's not for today? That passed away. That there's no healing promised for us. That you just got to leave that up to God. Go to the doctor, do the best you can. You know, try to get healed that way. But you don't ever know what God will do. How do you say that?
I just don't understand the Lord.
You understand people that say it, they don't mean to do it. They're just walking in what light they have.
Right.
And advertising what they don't have.
Right.
So they don't do it maliciously. But honestly, is that not thumbing your nose, spitting right in the face of the blood of the covenant that brought us everything? Come on now, to remove anything that was in the that's in our covenant, that's a huge deal.
Yes.
That's dishonor.
Right.
That's disrespect. Again, if you don't realize what you're doing, and people that say that don't, they're just, what are they doing? Walking by sight. Everybody we pray for dies, so we just
come on.
Change our beliefs to match that.
Come on. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
No, if it was in the old, and the old is a picture of the new, and the new is better, you're going to tell me that suffering with cancer all your life is better?
No. No.
Disease after disease. No, that's not better. Healing is better. And then folks say, well, you know, God has reasons why these things are really good. And they're a blessing in
disguise.
Last time I read my Bible, it's not God that disguises himself as an angel of light.
Come on.
It's not God who's masquerading.
Come on. Right.
He doesn't use disguise blessings. Help me, somebody, this morning. No, can we just take it plain? If it was in the picture, it's got to be in the fulfillment.
Right?
If Israel had it as part of their blessing. Now, let's go. I know our time's starting to slip off here, but let's go. Get me to Psalm 105, verse 37. If it was in the old covenant, and it was a picture, and that's a picture of our new, it's got to be for us today.
Yes. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, healing was part of the old covenant. When they came out, when the children of Israel came out, you understand that they were in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Is it still fresh enough in everybody's mind?
Yeah.
How quick could somebody die from COVID? How quick? What's the quickest? Hours.
Yeah.
Like you could get it and in hours. Yeah?
Yeah.
You saw it. How many times did you see it?
A lot.
A lot. Yeah. He was in the unit. He was a ICU nurse during that. It could happen quick. Well, that same thing happened in one day. Every single one of the firstborn of the children of Egypt died. And not a single one of the children of Israel who were right there in proximity died. Because of God's covenant, because of God's protection, because of God's blessing. That's a pic. That was called the Passover. That's a picture of our redemption.
Yes. Yeah.
We have that too.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when God brought Israel out, there's two things he did. He healed them all. He kept them from that pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then anybody that was weak was healed.
Yes.
Yeah. And it says in this verse here, he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. If you look at the King James Version, notice how this reads. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. This is just recapping and recounting their journey out. So two things he did when he delivered them from that bondage. He healed every one of them. And he loaded them down with riches. If you read about it, which we don't have time, but if you read about it in the book of Exodus, the way he brought them forth with silver and gold is he told the children of Israel, he said, go borrow from your Egyptian neighbors jewels and valuable items for your journey. They're slaves, friends. Israel had become slaves. And God's bringing them out of slavery. He says, y'all need to be a little bit decked out for this. And the Bible says that there was such favor that the children of Israel had that they went to the Egyptians and they said, can we have some of your valuable jewelry? And they said, take it all. Just take it all. And the Bible says that they spoiled the Egyptians, meaning they just, they plundered them. They took all of the wealth of Egypt on their way out.
Right.
And it's, listen, this wasn't Bitcoin. This wasn't like a transfer.
No.
This was like,
they carried it. They had to carry it.
Like you're going on a physical journey. How many know you already have a backpack and two roller bags? You don't need another 800-pound bag, but God didn't care.
No.
And not only that, there was nowhere to spend it.
No. They were going to the wilderness.
But redemption's redemption.
This exodus
out of Egypt was a picture of what would happen when Jesus came and died and fulfilled it. And he not only did he heal everyone on the way out, he loaded them down with the wealth of Egypt. And brought them out. You might say, what's your point? If I think of one, I'll let you know. I'll say it this way. If Christ's blood paid for it, and it was important enough that you can follow the trail all throughout the Old Testament up till the days of Christ and now, and from cover to cover in the Bible, this is here.
Right.
And obviously, it's of a high degree of importance to God.
Yes.
this thing of the Lord giving us power or ability to get wealth.
Right, right.
And so it's not some small side issue that we're really to be embarrassed about. That because we don't want to lose anybody. And yeah, I gotta be honest, I heard there was visitors here last week. I wasn't here. I'm glad there's not today, because I'm like, I don't want to be the one that runs, you know what I'm saying? Because like, if she runs them off, that's good. You know, she's, you're the pastor, it's all good. I don't want to run all the people off. But you would run a lot of people off, huh? Let's say, oh my God, you talking about, what are you going to talk about next? Airplanes? Oh. Like, that's the holy grail of the, never talk about that.
Come on.
Because we know who should have the private planes. It's all the executives of the, adult film industry. They need to get where they need to get. Carl, you had to get me going. You had to get me going there, huh?
Yeah, come
on. The unrighteous, they need to get where they need to get.
Right.
But God's people, no. Sit and coach on the train.
Come on.
And you know what? We'll go however we need to go to get wherever we need to get. That's not the thing. The thing I want to bring out today is that if God's included this, then it's not something that we should feel free to just opt out of because it's not comfortable.
Right.
Blood was shed, not just any blood, God's blood. God's blood was shed so that we could have what he wants us to have. Can I say it this way? He died to provide. And so I think today's just to help get our thinking to the point that this is not something that we can take or leave. This is not something we can opt out of because I'd rather just, you know, I'm just not into it. Mm-hmm. And to have the mentality of, you know what, our bills are paid, we're good.
Come on.
It reminds me of what Brother Kevin Durant was talking about when he was talking about the baptism and the Holy Spirit,
right,
and how he had helped some people and was talking to them and they said, no, we're good. What do you mean you're good?
Yeah.
Everybody on the day of Pentecost needed this.
Yes.
You don't. What do you mean you're good? And where this subject is concerned, because it's controversial, it's hugely controversial.
Right.
It's just easier to say, you know, my bills are paid, I'm good. Meaning just living in the natural,
yeah,
where this you know, and I give a little bit to the church, whatever.
Come on.
But again, I listened to last week's message when I was working in my yard yesterday, and when she talked about the lordship of Christ, and how if he's your Lord, it's not just you anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And what if God wants to use you to do some things for him,
right,
that take resources?
Right.
What if God wants to use you to fund some things,
right,
exactly, of his?
Right.
Do you understand God's works need funding?
Yes.
I know there's things we have on our heart.
Right.
That would take vast resources.
Mm-hmm.
Assignments.
Awesome.
We'll get it done.
Yep. Yes.
And whether it's you or me or others that he brings,
mm-hmm,
you know, we'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But don't just say I'm good because everything got paid this month. I'll leave you with this phrase to maybe think about. Each of us individually that say we serve Christ,
yeah,
we have a responsibility,
yes,
to be rich.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on.
That's right.
Wow.
Responsibility. And it's not a materialistic thing. You know that. If you know us, you know that. It's not a greed thing. It's a blood thing.
Yes.
It's a covenant thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about Bible prosperity. We're talking about something holy.
Yes.
Something that we shouldn't mock it. We should, because many do. We shouldn't dismiss it. We should reverence it.
Yes.
Embrace it.
Yes.
And really say, Lord, take me on this journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Use me how you want to use me.
Right.
Confirm your covenant.
Yeah.
Another time we didn't get to it. He wants to confirm his covenant the way he did with Abraham.
Wow.
The way he did with Isaac.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way he did with Jacob. I mean, Jacob had 12 sons, the children of Israel.
Yeah.
That's where that phrase came. Jacob was, his name was changed to Israel.
Yeah.
He had 12 sons. They were the original children of Israel.
Yeah.
One of those children was Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph was in prison.
Yeah.
And the next day, in a day, became second in command, in charge of all the resources of Egypt, which was the most robust economy. Most of the wealth of the world was in Egypt.
Yeah.
Joseph was in charge of it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Because of God's covenant
yes.
to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
That's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Right.
You might say, well, why talk about it? Why not just say we agree it? Because anything spiritual takes faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
And faith only comes one way.
Come on. That's right.
By hearing.
By hearing about it.
And if you don't hear about it,
you won't walk in it.
And you'll just live according to the natural.
Right.
Like others.
Right.
And God's got more for us today.
Yes.
He wants to use you to do some things and use me to do some things. And the thing about it is, if he can get it through you, he get it to you.
Glory.
And it'll bless your own life.
Yes.
So that's what we have. That's what I had for today. That was just like the eensy teensy little bit of an intro of this. And I don't know. Maybe if it seems good, we'll minister on this some more here. Praise the Lord. Father, we're grateful. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that sets us free.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you're our riches. You.
Yes.
You. Are our wealth.
Yes.
But thank you, Father, that our covenant includes wealth.
Right. Yes.
And I just ask you, Father, and those that would agree with this can make this their prayer. Mm-hmm. I just ask you, Father, take me on this journey.
Right.
Take us where you will. Use us as you choose.
Yes.
And Father, let there be no area in which we come short where you would want to use us to be a blessing to somebody else, to help fund your works.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen?
This might be different than what you were expecting today, but it usually is when I minister. It's all right. Praise God.